Hey, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 16. Okay, Revelation chapter 16. And I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out the seven bowls of the wrath of God into the earth." And the first angel went and poured out his bowl into the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore upon the man who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his name. And the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. And the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "Righteous art thou, who art and who was, who O Holy One, because thou didst judge these things. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. They deserve it." And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, O Lord God the Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." And the fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent, so as to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent for their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up, that the way might be prepared for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garments, lest he walk about naked and men see his shame. And they gather them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there was a great earthquake such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. And the great city was split into three parts. The cities of the nations fell, and Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And huge hailstorms, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because his plague was extremely severe. Amen. So we're coming to the culmination of history, basically. And before we get into this part, just to give you a little idea, we're probably gonna obviously I'm here this whole week, so we're gonna wrap up most of Revelation next week. I'm in Singapore the whole week, and so the week after that, Tuesday, Friday, so the 26th on Saturday, we're actually gonna finish the book of Revelation. We're actually gonna finish the New Testament. It took us about 3 years to finally get to this place, and I think we're gonna take a little bit of a break. In terms of, you know, going one chapter at a time. And then in January, we're going to start at Genesis. And so when we start our fast, we'll be at Genesis 1. And I imagine if this took us about 3 years, so two and some, I think my original estimation was 7 years. It might actually take us 10 years to get to the Old Testament. And so hopefully we'll all be here during that time and we can enjoy it. But I was thinking, oh, we should have like a nice party or something on that Saturday morning as we finish with Revelation 22. Okay, so let's go to Revelation 16. This is it says six bowls of wrath, or actually seven bowls of wrath that happen here. And if you notice something, that a lot of these bowls, to give you an idea of the pattern, so there's three bowls of wrath, and interchangeably, in the previous chapter before, they actually call these plagues. So, which kind of alludes to going back to Exodus, and you'll see a lot of similarities. And so in Exodus, you have the plagues of Egypt, and so you'll have three plagues, very similar to the one in Exodus, and then you'll have a respite in between, And in this respite, actually, Jesus talks. So we find that he actually shows up in the midst of this, and there's a refrain, there's a song, very similar to most of the pattern throughout Revelation. And then comes the last, I'm sorry, no, he doesn't speak, but he speaks at the end of this thing, as he gets to the end. And then we see another plague come, but remember the Exodus plague was the plague came and it turned the sun and sun became dark. Now, this is a total reversal. The sun doesn't become dark. The sun becomes very, very hot, and it scorches the earth. And so that's kind of a difference. And then it leads on to the similar to the plagues in Egypt, and it continues on. So let's go to the beginning here. In a loud voice from the temple. Remember now, this is happening through the temple. It's coming out from that place. A loud voice saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the seven bowls of wrath of God into the earth. So the first angel went, poured out his bowl into the fire, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore. Remember going all the way back to Exodus chapter 9, where boils and sores and all kinds of calamity was affecting the Egyptians. We see the same thing. And so this is the first plague. The second plague comes, and he takes... pours out the bowl into the sea, and it becomes blood like that of a dead man. Every living thing in the sea dies. And so, again, going back to the Euphrates, it'd be the Nile, that's turned from water into blood. And then, next thing you know, it comes out. And so the third angel comes, and so that was a sea, so dealing with salt water, and now the angel pours out over the fresh water. And so this is a very systematic, really ending to all things that are coming here. And then a respite comes. They come, verse 5, and I heard the angel of the water saying, righteous art thou, who art, who was, O Holy One, because thou didst judge these things. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets. Thou hast given them blood to drink, and they deserve it. Did you like the end of that line? They deserve it. And so what this is referring to is, remember, all these martyrs that are taking place here. And in the midst of this, there's finally judgment. Think of it this way. They spill the blood of the martyrs upon the earth. The blood cries out from the ground and all these things. And so the response of God is that everything around them is going to turn to blood. You shed blood, you're going to be blood yourself. Kind of like blood is on your hands, and you see the calamity and the torment of God placed upon the enemies of God. Really, the people that were the ones that martyred or put to death his saints. And this is why, you know, like if we take a lot of reflection, and on Sunday, I shared about, you know, a couple of days ago, I shared about blessed are the meek. And one of the things I talked about meek was that you can, it allows you, this idea of meekness and whatnot, this disposition of the Spirit, it allows you to forgive your enemies, and it allows you to really be overly gracious in that regard, because you trust God so much. Well, this is one of the ideas here, that you look through this, and you know, if I'm gonna be very, very honest, one of the things I really, really personally at times struggle with is this idea of Christians, you know, very faithful people that lose their life for their faith. And if you were around a little while ago, I mentioned to you that maybe it was a couple of days ago, that there are more people being killed for their faith in our century, in our time, than actually in the culmination of history before that. I mean, going all the way back from the first century, you know, up until, you know, the 1900s, there were more people killed these days in our generation, our time, than cumulatively the history of the Christian world before that. And so, you know, one of my good friends is Anil, who's the leader, the managing director at CSW, Christian Solidarity Worldwide. And that's basically what they do. They go and help people. They petition governments for people that are in slavery, or more for their faith, and are in prison and whatnot, because they're Christians. And, you know, he just came back from place, sent me a note, and you see all these, people that he met. Every single one of them, they basically had some kind of persecution. Their churches were burnt down. something happened. I had a good friend of mine, Eric, who was just in Africa, and he happened to go to this one island near Africa. And he said that every pastor that he met that ministered in this particular region that we was in, it was a very, very populous Muslim small nation in Africa. He said every single one of them had their churches burnt down or had someone in their church get persecuted for their faith. And we see this happening, and we look in our natural eyes at the unfairness of it all. But see, this is the key. It's whatever seems unfair to us in our natural eyes are going to come to recompense before God. No act goes unpunished in the eyes of the Lord. And so we look in the natural sense here, and there is a judgment that's to come. Now, this is going to sound really, really weird, okay? So just follow along with me. My wife and I were huge X-Men fans, more my wife than myself, which is kind of weird to think about, but she's really crazy about X-Men. And there's a movie I was seeing, again, I was watching it on the plane, and it was the X-Men, like, going backwards to the way the beginning of Xavier. And if you remember one scene where he goes into and he finds these, basically these Nazis that, you know, from the Holocaust, and they're living a high life, you know, out in some European country somewhere. And, you know, the guy that ends up being Magneto ends up basically killing these guys. You know, shows them the mark. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but that made me really think about a lot of different things. And what made me think about was all these Nazis that killed all these Jews and tortured and, I mean, just did horrible things to people that are probably living around us. Old men right now that are just living the good life, have taken the gold and the art and all the wealth of the Jews during that time. And, you know, when I was watching that movie, I was thinking, man, you know, one of those dudes could be living across from me right now, just enjoying the good life and feeling like they got away with everything and things. And in the natural sense, that's really unfair. I mean, that would really get you quite upset. But nothing escapes God's eyes, right? You know, every act will come into judgment. And all these things that we consider unfair in this world, you know, at the end, everything is going to come into fruition. Do you know what I mean? It is the justice of God. It's the fairness of God. You think about, I'm always thinking about these movies, okay? There's another movie from a long time ago, and it's Bruce Willis. You remember I think it's called Unbroken or something like that. And he basically ends up being a cartoon character, and he can't be broken. He can't break his bones. He's basically immortal in a sense. And every time he gets around someone, he gets near them, he touches them, it shows him all these bad things that these people did. Do you guys remember the movie? What was the title of the movie? Unbreakable. Yeah, the M. Night Shyamalan movie. And so in all these people, he's in the subway station, and he just gets around people, and he gets this vision of all these evil things that these guys did, you know, and then they're walking around, they feel like, man, I got away with everything. No, in God, you don't get away with anything. I'll say it this way. As a follower of Christ, you get away with everything. Fair or not fair, it doesn't matter. That's called grace. But to the enemies of God, you're gonna pay for every single deed, right, on this side of heaven. And I don't know about you, it makes me feel really good personally inside. And almost in the same way, I'd probably be one of these guys to say, yeah, they deserve it, as the end of verse 6 here. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, thou hast given them blood to drink, and they deserve it. And there's this idea that, man, that the judgments of God are righteous. I mean, that's precisely what the song says in verse 5. And they did evil, and so evil is going to be pressed upon them as well. Now, again, we're talking about the enemies of God that are operating this way. And you can, you know, the reality is, you can look at me like, man, that guy is really weird. How can he be so vindictive and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Well, notice one of the main themes here in chapter 16 is what is the response of the people in the midst of every bull that happens? What's the response? Do they fall on their knees and say, you are God, and repent and whatnot? What happens? No, they do not repent. the picture is, and you can see the age of evil just kind of ramping and ramping and ramping and becomes so stronger. Not only, at least Pharaoh in Exodus, and so this is a parallel account that's happening together, even Pharaoh did not curse God. And so what happens here is they just didn't repent. But in these passages, guess what? Not only do they not repent, they start cursing God. The idea of cursing means blaspheming. And they start blaspheming the name of the Lord. And you're talking about not just not repenting, but going the whole other extreme and just mocking God and just bringing God down and blaspheming Him, saying things about God that are not worthy of Him, and so on and so forth. So all these things happen. Verse 7, right? I heard the altar saying, "Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." In other words, they were saying, "Lord, this is fair. What's happening to the enemies of God, Lord, this is fair. This is the culmination of time that's coming to the place." And then the fourth angel pours out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to scorch men with fire. Now, again, remember going back, the Exodus one was the sun was darkened, and so there was no more light. Now it's a total reversal of that, and the sun is just shining so hotly, so brightly. And the men were scorched, verse 9, with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues. And they did not repent so as to give Him glory. They could have said, "Oh Lord, we're sorry," because it says He has the power over these plagues. The Lord could have relented, but they did not repent. And then not only did they not repent, they started blaspheming God. They started accusing God and all kinds of things. So the fifth angel comes, and now he pours out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened. They gnawed their tongues because of pain. And then again, verse 11, they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. So the same thing is happening. The fourth bowl, the fifth bowl is getting worse and worse. Now the sixth bowl comes. The sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river, the Euphrates. Its water was dried up that the way might prepare for the kings from the east. And then I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. These would be evil spirits that come in and are released during this time. And they look like frogs. Again, an allusion going all the way back to the Exodus, where one of the plagues is frogs that come out. But there's three specific ones that come out to this place, and they perform signs which go out to the kings of the whole world, would be the inhabited earth, and they gather them together for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. And so, seemingly, there seems to be these three evil spirits. Is it just three, or it could be a legion? I don't know. But they go out to the earth now, and they are sent to deceive the nations. And they deceive the nations to an effect where they now come for this great final battle that's occurring. So the enemy is working to with leaders and nations and kingdoms, and they all are gathering together now to this place, Armageddon. So verse 15, here's the Lord now finally shows up in the midst of all this stuff. And look what he says, "Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeps his garments, lest he walk about naked and men see his shame." This is going all the way back, 1 Thessalonians 5, where he says, "I'm coming like a thief in the night." Matthew 24, verse 43. So it's just the same idea that he's going to come quickly. So the word is to be ready. He's going to come he says, "I'm coming just like a thief in the night. So behold, the one who stays awake, you need to be ready to come out. You need to be ready to run. You need to be ready to do whatever he calls us to do." And so it's that charge again. And then they all gather together at this place, which is in Hebrew, is called Armageddon. The word "har" in Hebrew is the word mountain, and Megiddon is Megiddo, and so it's this plain in this field. There was and to the Jewish mind, this Megiddo really had a very significant meaning. Megiddo was the place of really one of the last great battles of Israel, And if you remember the Old Testament, in Megiddo is when Josiah, King Josiah, the righteous king, actually fought Pharaoh Necho and lost in Megiddo. And this would be a very poignant point of reference for the Jewish people to recognize it was kind of this last battle. In our modern day, you guys know about Waterloo, right? And these kind of battles and whatnot. It's like the last stand and these things. And so this would conjure up this kind of image. And so they would pick this. Now, if you've ever been to Megiddo, and it's not a mountain. And so this is where some of the confusion kind of lies in for the modern reader. It is not a mountain. It's actually a very, very flat plain, P-L-A-I-N, that oversees. And there's some hills around that, but there's really no mountain that's near that. And one of our, when we were there this past May, one of our guide was kind of giving us the history. And interesting enough, Megiddo, throughout Jewish history, was actually the place where people, it was actually a crossroads. And a lot of people went through this place, and they went to Megiddo. And from Megiddo, you can either choose to head towards Jerusalem, or you head towards Rome. Or you can head towards, what's the other big city during those times? Sorry, I forget now. But it was this place where it was kind of, you had to decide where you're going to go. It was this point, because nothing else was really around there. You're either going to Jerusalem, you're going to go to Rome, or you're going to go to somewhere in Egypt, if I recall. And it was a very defining place. It was a defining moment where you kind of chose. And so in that sense, Megiddo kind of makes sense. Now, some commentators say because Megiddo is not a mountain, that this is some imaginary battle that's going to take place. I don't know. It could also be referred to the idea of the Death Valley Mountain or something in that regard. I don't necessarily know if there has to be a mountain there for a battle to take place, but seemingly this is going to be a decision time. The kings of the world are going to be gathered in this place and at Armageddon, and then when this happens, the seventh angel is going to pour out his bowl upon the air. And a loud voice comes out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." And then again, the same theme, flashes of thunder, peals of lightning, flashes of lightning, peals of thunder, a great earthquake like you've never seen before, 100-pound balls of hail are going to fall on the earth. And what's the response? The men are going to curse God again, and they're not going to repent because of the great pain. And the plague was so severe, and all these things that are happening. And then in particular, God is going to really go after this Babylon, this great city. And we're going to talk more about that tomorrow in chapter 17. But this is the last bowl of wrath, and the culmination of the age is going to come to this place. And it's going to be quite a sad event that happens here, but a real event that's going to take place over this earth. So let's close our eyes. The Bible tells us it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. But the Bible also reminds us that you need to repent while there's still time. There's going to be a season that comes where repentance will be extremely difficult. Why? I have no idea. But seemingly, the things that in the past would lead people to repentance will no longer be doing that. And so in that kind of same vein, I mean, it's really hard to take this chapter and pray through in some ways. There's so much destruction and whatnot. But the only way that I can think about for us to pray together is, man, if there's anything in your life right now, if there's any sin, meaning more unconfessed, once you confess your sins to the Lord, it's forgotten. He says, "I buried in the deepest sea, I remember no more." So a lot of us that taking GIC, we should have memorized this thing in our hearts. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so I want us to take a moment this morning. And if, as the Holy Spirit is convicting us, see, there's two things that generally happens when the Christian is dealing with sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us, and the devil condemns us. The Holy Spirit convicts us. In other words, He's drawing us closer to Jesus. He's moving us towards Him, and the repentance is really that open door even more so. The enemy wants to condemn you and say, oh, you're so bad, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God doesn't love you and whatnot. We don't listen to the enemy's voice. We listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit that wants us to be in fresh, right relationship with God. So I want to encourage you, if you're being convicted of something today, that you go before the Lord and repent while there is still time. While there is still time. Be as David, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me as you go before Him. Well, let's pray together.
You are good. Will to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever.
Amen. Let's really practice that song, and as we're repented, let's just run into His arms of forgiveness. Let's run into His arms of grace. Let's pray that we would remember the power of that forgiveness in our lives, just like it was the first time. Arms are wide open for His people. I encourage you to continue to go before the Lord and just search and try your hearts before Him. Make sure you don't leave this place without receiving the acceptance and forgiveness of Christ and His work on the cross over our lives. Let's pray together. Let's go to our community prayer focus, and let's pray for all of our friends and family members that are battling cancer. Let's pray for a steadfast spirit. Let's pray that for God's healing word to come over them and their body, and just really eradicate cancer in their lives. So let's lift them up. Let's pray for those that are sick, but also need to meet Jesus. Let's pray for that word of healing and that word of salvation over their lives. Let's lift up. Let's pray for those that are battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's ask God's healing hand upon them. Let's pray for our community that are looking for work. And let's pray that God would provide for them. Go to our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for SP Beijing and Chris, Amy, Annie, Pastor Sam, and Mary. Let's pray for the leaders there. There's a huge contingent coming to the retreat. Let's pray for all their logistics and everything as they make their way to China, to Nansha particularly. Let's lift up the Chung family as they're still on their furlough and trying to get their visa to go back into China. Let's pray for that process. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents, Basarabas. Pray for Leanne. Leanne's father is can't eat right now. And so, you know, he's been battling with Lou Gehrig's disease for a while. And it's getting to the place now where he can't even swallow any food. And so the doctors have told the family that it's probably at any moment that he can go. And so let's just cover Leanne. I think she's going to try to come to Hong Kong a little earlier to meet with the family there. And so just going to lift her up. Pray for Edie and the kids in Chichihar and the churches throughout China. Let's ask God's hand to be with them. Let's pray for our friends. Let's pray for our staff. Let's just pray for all the pastors and support staff. Let's pray that we would do our work unto the Lord with the best of our abilities. Let's pray for interpersonal communication and relationships with each other. Let's pray for just a real heart that really serves God with all that we are. Let's just lift up this our whole staff before the Lord. Let's pray for the worship teams and the audio-visual video teams. Pray for a real heart of worship and a servant attitude. Pray that the worship that they lead on Sundays and throughout our meetings would just be an overflow of their own worship before the Lord. Let's pray for all our equipment as well. We always seem to, something seems to go wrong almost every week. Let's just really ask God to cover and any spiritual warfare and relate to all of our equipment and whatnot. And so just lift up our leaders. Let's pray for all the house churches that are meeting tonight, the Robinson West, Kennedy, Opie Grove, Bonham, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, Quarry Bay, and Sha Tin. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to just really lead these meetings and that, as they prepare and get ready for the retreat, there'll be a real sense of excitement and they're really able, also able to discuss and really download the message on Sunday. Let's just lift up tonight's meetings. Let's pray for our retreat coming up this week. Let's pray for our prayer meetings. So we're having one on Wednesday and Thursday night. And so two nights this week, tomorrow and Thursday. Let's pray for our guest speakers. We got an email from Tom, and he couldn't get his visa in the Philippines. So he's going to come here on Wednesday and try to get his China visa here. And so we really need to pray and cover. I don't have my China visa yet either. And so, you know, I'd like to get that this week as well. So, I mean, that should not be a problem. But just in case, just lift up. Pray for logistics, the ferry. Pray for all the equipment. A bunch of brothers will be going early again. And, you know, there's always a risk at the border that they don't let the equipment through. And so we always just pray and cover that. Pray for all the house churches this week in the preparation and all everyone's schedules, that the enemy would really not have his hands upon that, and people will be excited, ready to go. Pray for everyone that's going, just for that they wouldn't get sick this week, and just really cover them, that God would just really lead us during this time. So let's pray for our retreat and just cover that. And lastly, let's pray for our brother Anil. Anil from CSW, he's in NK right now. And so let's just cover him and the team. Actually, Tyler's home church in Texas is also on this team. A small world, man. And so let's just lift up this team as they're in the northern country right now. Lord, we thank you, God, this morning. Lord, we thank you for the reminder, God, that we need to constantly, Lord, be checking ourselves, God. We need to constantly be in your presence, Lord. And we pray, God, that just a lifestyle of repentance, God, would just follow us every single day, Lord. Not that we're trying to point out what's so wrong with this, God, but Lord, to really build that quality relationship that we can have with you, Father, because you're a holy God. And so watch over us, Lord. We just pray your shalom over us today as we seek to lift up your Son, Jesus, in all that we do. We thank you, Father. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you, guys. Have a great time of prayer. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you guys tomorrow at AMP.